by Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, July the 29th, Lebanon's Prime Minister designate promises to form a government as soon as possible amid the spiraling economic collapse of the country. More vaccines are needed in the Amazon region, where the COVID-19 health emergency continues unabated. And we shine the spotlight on the diverse realities of Caritas Oceania as the member organizations conclude their annual forum. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Lebanese Prime Minister designate Najib Mikati said that he hoped to form a government shortly after securing the approval of President Michel Aoun for most of his nominees. Speaking on Wednesday, Mikati, who is a businessman, is the third potential prime minister to be nominated since Hassan Diab's government resigned after an explosion in Beirut's port area on the 4th of August last year that killed more than 200 people and flattened large areas of the city. Diab's government has stayed on in a caretaker capacity, but Lebanon's currency has collapsed, jobs have vanished, and banks have frozen accounts in the country's worst crisis since the 1975-1990 civil war. Lebanese father Oliver Borg Olivier spoke to Vatican Radio's Antonella Palermo about the dramatic predicament of the population as the economy continues to spiral downwards.
People, families can't find food. The wages have remained the same, 1.5 million of Lebanese pounds as they were before the crisis. But the value is different because now that wages amounts to $50 a month. 100,000 Lebanese pounds is not enough for a day. There is no electricity because there's no petrol. You have to queue for 1.5 hours to get a tank full of petrol when you get it. And when there is petrol in the country, and it seems that some petrol did arrive, it was sold in the black market to Syria, which then sells it back to Lebanon at a higher price. Of course, somebody is profiting from that. The situation is so desperate that even hospitals are only accepting emergency cases because they have no medicine, they have no electricity. Schools are asking how they will be able to go on, because if they raise the school fees, then parents can't keep sending their children to school because they don't have the money. If they don't, well, then they have to shut down. So probably what they're going to do for the time being is continue online classes to save on electricity, on transport and other things, so as not to send the students away. So, yes, everything is in a very bad shape. The problem is that while the majority are suffering, and it's so desperate that there are daily cases of suicide because parents don't know how to feed their children. Just yesterday, a father of a family walked into a hospital desperate and finding no medicine, finding no food. And he just took a pistol and shot himself in the chest in front of everybody. But this is not a single case. This is practically a daily situation.
And that was Father Oliver Borg-Olivier speaking there to Antonella Palermo. The Pan-Amazonian Ecclesial Network, RIPAM, has published its weekly map of pandemic incidence rates in the Pan-Amazonian region as the death toll reaches 100,000. It stresses that in order to fight the virus, more vaccines and more immunization is required. Lydia Kane has more.
A situation that arouses deep sadness but unites us in the clamour for the vaccine to reach everyone in the Amazon and for the population to be immunised to combat the pandemic in a comprehensive and permanent way. That was the conclusion of the Pan-Amazonian Ecclesial Network, or RAPAM, in its latest weekly report on the pandemic situation in the region. On Monday, the 26th of July, the number of deaths in the Amazon reached 100,000 people, according to official figures. However, there is likely to be many more given the difficulties in accessing information and ways of recording and transmitting data from each of the countries involved. The official figures speak of 100,037 deaths and 3,500,761 people infected by COVID-19 in Pan-Amazonia. The COVID-19 pandemic has made even more apparent the lack of healthcare facilities that afflicts the region, especially in the last 16 months, in which dramatic situations have been experienced due to the lack of basic healthcare, oxygen, medicine and biosecurity materials. Raypam laments that there is currently great uncertainty about the vaccination situation of the Amazon population, given that the number of people immunised is still far below what was expected. In particular, two critical situations have been identified: the lack of vaccines and misinformation. The insufficiency of vaccines to immunise the population in the Amazon shows the negligence and lack of seriousness of most national governments to face the pandemic, the report says. On the other hand, there is a proliferation of disinformation campaigns ranging from denial of the seriousness of the pandemic to falsehoods spread by political and religious fanaticism. There are many stories about this situation, says Raypam, that are becoming widespread in the communities of the Amazon to the point that people are refusing to get vaccinated. In view of the situation, Raypam calls on authorities to provide and send vaccines for the Amazonian population in all countries and not to ignore the difficulties and cries, especially of the poorest and most fragile. To this end, it has launched a campaign under the hashtag VaccineAmazon to invite people to get vaccinated and not be misinformed, motivating their communities to make this concrete gesture for the common good. With the Say Yes to the Vaccine, Get Vaccinated campaign, which will start in August, Raypam wants to raise awareness of the importance of immunising the population in order to fight the pandemic in a comprehensive and permanent way.
Haiti's new Prime Minister, Ariel Henry, is pledging his government is working towards holding elections as quickly as possible. The aim, he says, is to regain stability and democracy following the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse. James Blears reports.
Prime Minister Ariel Henry, who was inaugurated Prime Minister last week in a ceremony in the capital Port-au-Prince, says the avowed mission of his administration is to prepare conditions to hold elections as quickly as practically possible. He hasn't specified the exact date when this will happen, but stressed it will be within this year. Haiti's ongoing crisis took a considerable and significant turn for the worse with President Moïse's assassination on July the 7th by a group of Colombian mercenaries, in which his wife Martine was seriously wounded but managed to survive following emergency medical treatment after she was airlifted to the United States and rushed to a Miami hospital. The United States, the United Nations and the Organization of American States are urging Haiti to swiftly move towards elections, but politicians within Haiti say that the current conditions create a difficult and dangerous environment for fair, impartial, safe and democratic process. The investigation into the assassination is being done by Haitian police and Interpol. 26 ex-Colombian soldiers, six of whom received specialist training in the United States while serving in the military, are being investigated. Head of President Moïse's security detail, Jean Lauguel, has been arrested. His lawyer says the detention is politically motivated. Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. These events are yet further worsening its economic and political plight. For Vatican Radio, James Blears reporting.
Christians and citizens of India, concerned about the values enshrined in the country's constitution, came together on Wednesday to observe National Justice Day to celebrate Jesuit priest Father Stan Swamy, a human rights activist who died in custody earlier this month. The call for the observance came from the Jesuit Conference of South Asia. Robin Gomes reports.
Indian Jesuit Father Stan Swamy, who championed the cause of indigenous and marginalised people of eastern India's Jharkhand state, died on July the 5th in a hospital in Mumbai, bail denied. The 84-year-old priest, affected by Parkinson's disease and a few other age-related health issues, was arrested on October the 8th last year from Bagaicha, his social action centre on the outskirts of Ranchi, the capital of Jharkhand, on charges of alleged links with Maoist insurgents who were set to have have been behind the violence in Bhima Koregaon village in Maharashtra state in January 2018. Father Swami, who has denied all charges, became India's oldest prisoner charged with terrorism to die in custody. To pay our deep respects to Father Stan Swami and call forward his legacy, we, the concerned citizens of India, stand in solidarity to observe 28 July 2021 as a National Justice Day, said a press statement by Jesuit Father Stanislaus D'Souza, Provincial and President of the Jesuit Conference of South Asia, JCSA. Amid growing inequalities, violence, atrocities, discrimination and exclusion in our country, not to be a silent spectator is the message that Swami left for us, Father Stanislaus said in his statement. He said Father Swami inspired people to sing the values of the preamble to the constitution of our country, justice, liberty, equality and fraternity amidst the adversities, as the caged bird can still sing and sing in chorus. As a Jesuit, Father Stanislaus said, he committed himself to walk with the excluded whose dignity is violated in a mission of reconciliation and justice. The Jesuit Provincial of India said Father Swami's death is not an end, rather it is another moment of awakening in our journey to affirm our faith in the constitution of our country. I am Robin Gomes.
And finally, Caritas Oceania, which brings together highly diverse members from the larger and smaller islands of the Pacific, on Thursday concluded its annual forum inspired by the Pope's encyclical Fratelli Tutti and held on the theme of fraternity. The organization's new president is Cardinal Soane Patita Paini Mafi from Tonga. He told me that, quite predictably, two of the main issues tackled during the forum pertain to the effects of climate change and of the COVID-19 pandemic.
The environmental protection would still remain a top priority. The care for our common home is always a big problem here in Oceania. So one of our main treasures is the ocean, the livelihood of people. And with the frequency of natural disasters and the impact of climate change, it's a lot of issue that happened, affected a lot of people.
I understand that Caritas Oceania brings together many different members, and some of them very diverse. They include Caritas Australia, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Aotearoa New Zealand, and Tonga. What is the common thread and what is the diversity?
We consist of various ethnic groups, especially in the Polynesian groups and the Melanesians and Micronesia. We are so rich in that way with our diversities and culturally. But our common shared reality, of course, is the we are all in this vast ocean of the Pacific. And I think the faith element is also an element of our commonality, Christian faith. The vast majority of the population here in Oceania are Christians, and I think it's one-third are Catholic. So in that sense, we share that common faith.
And that was Cardinal Soane Patita Paini Mafi from Tonga, president of Caritas Oceania. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at this same time for more. You can also visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And you can follow us on our Facebook page and on Twitter. My thanks go to Patrizio Ciprari in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.